Good morning. Good morning, and a happy new year to everybody. So, like Matthew said, we are going to be kicking off our new series today. We will spend 3 weeks in New Beginnings, and the fourth week of January, we want to use that as kind of our Vision Sunday. So we'll give you an update on where we are and everything else. But for now, we're going to dig into New Beginnings. We're going to be in the book of Joshua this morning, and I'm going to ask, there you are, our reader to come up this morning. Read for us.
Morning, church. My name is Eduardo, and I am from Brazil, Rio. My first time in Canada was in January 2018, and I came to study English. However, during that time, I applied for a college, and thank God I got approved. So since last September, I have been studying business at Seneca College. Also, my first time at church was in last April, and I'm really glad for the family that God gave me here and for all people that I have met. Today, I'm going to be reading Joshua. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and came to the Jordan. He and all the people of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the ark of the Lord, your God, being carried by the priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 1 kilometer in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." When the people set out to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the ark ahead of the people. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. But as soon as the priests' feet touched the Jordan at its edge, the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass, and the water flowing downstream into the Dead Sea was completely cut off. The priests carrying the ark stood firmly on the dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on the dry ground. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan, where the priests are staying. Gather them and set them down at the place where you spend the night. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you, you shall tell them, the water of the Jordan was cut off in the front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan waters was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites." Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. So good. It's not an uncommon thing. So here we are at the beginning of 2019. We're just talking about new beginnings. And I think one of the common experiences we have when it comes to new beginnings is at the very beginning, we're really, really excited. We're excited about that new beginning, and we can't wait for it to start. And then as we get closer, we get a little more nervous, and we're wondering, am I really up for it? Maybe it's going to university. You started something in the fall, and back in the summer, you were like, "Yeah, I got this. I'm so happy I got into that program." And then all of a sudden, as you got closer and closer, you were like, I hope I'm in the right program. Yeah, anyway, we can have a lot of fear as we get closer, and a lot of doubts, actually, as we get closer to that new beginning actually starting. And it's no different than coming to a new country. I know there's a number of people in this room. You've come to a new country, and you could be very, very excited while you're still back at home. Very excited about coming to Canada. And then as the days get closer and closer, you're like, it's getting closer, right? The reality of actually leaving and coming to Canada was a lot closer. And it's the same with new jobs as well. All kinds of new beginnings in our lives, they can, at a distance, everything looks fine. But as we get closer and the reality of it hits us, let's be honest, we get a little nervous, we get a little afraid, and we might even be thinking, should I be doing this? Well, here's my advice to you, and if you're a Christian, you've been following God, you know this already. As that is happening to you, lean into God. Trust in God. If he led you there, he's been leading you there, he's going to lead you through it. The title of our message this morning is, "Let God Lead." Let God Lead. We had a new beginning in our family this past week. Here she is. That is our new baby girl, not my baby girl. I'm way too old for that. But as a grandfather, that is our third granddaughter. We're so, so happy. Her name is Elsie, which is really special to me because Josh and Kristen decided to name her after my mom. Which is really, anyway, it's an honor to have that happen. So I want to tell you a little bit about this whole thing. When Kristen and Josh, they first told us that they were going to have a new baby, super excited as a grandfather. Of course, I just get to spoil them, send them home and all that kind of stuff. Am I right, Dennis? Right, exactly. You got it. So I was super, super excited. But then as we got a lot closer to the whole birth process, for some reason I was getting a whole lot more nervous than I had ever been before. And so through the whole thing, I just kept hearing the Lord, just trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me on this thing. So just learning how to lean on God. And I'm finding out for myself that I need God even in these things. Super excited when I found out as I got closer and closer to it, just probably undue worry. But interestingly enough, the story that we're going to be covering this morning, God's people, the Israelites, they were far away from the land that God had promised them. But God told them while they're still in slavery, I want to take you to another land, a land that is flowing in milk with milk and honey. In other words, it's rich in so many ways. And God's people would have responded, that's awesome. That's exactly what we want. We don't want to be here in slavery. We want to go where God wants us to go. And as they were journeying towards this promised land, they would have found out, you will cross into this promised land or this good land by going over something called the River Jordan. And if they had known anything about that river at all or heard the people of that land speaking about that river, it typically was called the Gentle Jordan. The Gentle Jordan, because it wasn't a big river at all. And so I can imagine in their eyes, you know what? We're going to God's land, the promised land that God has given to us. And yeah, we got to get across that river, but we got it. It's not a big river. And God is also with us. But something interesting happened. When they arrived at the Jordan, that time of the year, it was no longer the Gentle Jordan. It was now a raging river. Well, things changed, didn't they? Their excitement, all of a sudden, was starting to become fear, anxiety, all those kinds of things. But here's what I want to, again, just remind you of as we start. When God is leading you somewhere, let him lead you. And when difficulties face you in that journey, let him lead you through. Okay? If you've got that, you've got everything that you need for this morning. So let's start with these verses. We know this. Joshua rose early in the morning, came to the Jordan River, he and all the people of Israel, and they stayed there, and we know they stayed there from verse 2 for 3 days. I want to focus in on that for a second, and I want to help you to see verse 15 as well. We know that the Jordan at this time was overflowing its banks. Now, we'll get into that in just a second. As I say, the reason why it would have been overflowing is because of the spring rains. That's adding to the volume of water that's rushing around. And on top of that, the snow from Mount Hermon is now starting to make its way, because it's melted, it's making its way down, and it's adding more to this thing called the Gentle Jordan, which is not gentle anymore. So typically, normally, the Jordan at this particular point where they were crossing was about 1 to 3 meters deep. Which actually is not too bad. I think most people could get across. But here's the interesting thing. It was only 30 meters wide. So that's not that much. So if you think about the back of our church building to the front of our church building, that's about the distance. Like most people, considering that, a gentle river going by, they're probably thinking, I got this. I got this. No problem. But it wasn't gentle Jordan. It was a raging river. It was now at flood level. And instead of being 30 meters wide, it was now 1.5 kilometers wide. Okay, for those of you who have no idea about distance, think about this building where you are, and think about going all the way down Shepherd to Leslie Street Station, you know where the TTC station is? That's about 1.5 kilometers. Now that is not just, that's a big difference between 30 meters getting across that. Who's going to get across that? Add to it one more factor. The river would have been moving at 60 kilometers an hour. So all the excitement that we had when we were far away from this river and the good land, all of that excitement has now gone. Why? Because you're facing the reality of what is in front of you. And if I were there, if we can go back to those verses again, Regina, they're there for 3 days. What is going through those mums' minds? What is going through their minds as they're there day after day, and that water is just going by at 60 kilometers an hour, and it's so wide. They're probably thinking, how am I going to get across this thing? Yeah, they remembered that God had told them, yeah, this is where you're going to come. But now, in the face of reality, it's like you almost put God in the background, and you start to think about yourself. How am I going to get through this? And if I were one of those parents, and if I had little children, I'd be thinking, how am I going to get my child across that thing? And if I had elderly parents, I'd be thinking, how in the world am I going to get my mother, my grandmother, how am I going to get her through that raging river? When God calls us to new beginnings, we actually often face a raging Jordan. Of course, this morning, as Matthew mentioned to you, it's Baptism Sunday. So we had 2 people get baptized this morning, and we have another one during this service. If God has spoken to you and said, you need to be baptized, you know that there's a response in you right away that says, yeah, I know I need to do that. And at a distance, it's okay. But the closer you get to the day of your baptism, you know things are happening. If you've been baptized, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like all kinds of things start to stir up and trouble starts to come and everything else. Somebody just doesn't want you to get in that water, and it's not God. Raging rivers or raging Jordan. And then maybe for you, the way that God is speaking to you is, could you start serving at CIT? Could you start serving? And God has been working with you for a little while. Could you start serving here at church? And maybe there's fear and doubt that you're facing as you consider that. Or maybe it's giving and it's something that you haven't done before. And then God is prompting you to put your hand in your wallet and give something to the church to support the church financially. And maybe you're like, well, I'm not sure I'll be able to make it if I give some money to the church. Maybe, as Matthew was mentioning earlier, maybe it's joining a community group. And you're thinking, well, what about my time and all of that kind of... I want to read you a testimony of a young lady who was asked to start a community group. And just pay attention to what she went through as she was considering this. So she said, when I was first asked to start a community group with my husband and a few others, I was overcome with a flurry of emotions. Of course, I was excited at the prospect of starting a new group. New beginnings, new friendships, and new responsibility. With those feelings of excitement also came feelings of doubt and anxiety. I wondered if I was the right choice for this venture. If I was the right choice, sorry, the best choice, or even the adequate choice. I had never done something like this before. What if I couldn't bring people together? What if people didn't want to join our group? I wondered if starting this group would inject too much responsibility into my already busy life. Can you see the raging rivers going? You see them, right? What if I was signing myself up for something I didn't have the time to properly devote myself to? I was afraid to fail before I even said yes. I previously had prayed for the opportunity to open up my home to other people, and this invitation to lead felt like an answer to prayer. God also spoke to me through the leadership at CIT, who reminded me that beyond the comfort zone of what I can do is where we truly allow God to work in our lives, trusting in Him to work for His glory and kingdom. And lastly, I found comfort in the community of my fellow home group leaders who revealed that they were going through exactly the same thing as I was. We were there to encourage and pray for one another. Moreover, as our group grew and deeper relationships formed, I was reminded of God's faithfulness and knew that by His strength, not mine, He could accomplish anything. I want to remind you of a verse. We often hear this, we may know it, but look at what this verse says in Luke 18. What is impossible with you? What is impossible in your sight? What is impossible in your evaluation is possible with God. With God, all things are possible. Well, I want to spend some time in the instructions that Joshua gave to God's people. As they're on the banks of the Jordan and they're looking at this thing, and as fear and doubt and everything else is starting to rise up, look at what is said to them. And I want to just say this. While this morning is about baptism and a lot of the application is going to be about baptism, the principles you're about to hear are universal. Whenever you are following God, pay attention to these kinds of things, and believe me, you will do well. So the number one thing that we see here is, I'll read the verses for you. As soon as you see the ark of the Lord, for those of you who are not familiar with what the ark of the Lord is, it was a wooden box that the children of Israel carried around, and it symbolized, and it was the presence of the living God. So as soon as you see the ark of the Lord your God being carried by the priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. So we have three things. When you keep your eyes on the ark, keep your eyes on God. When you see it move, you should get ready to move and follow it or follow God. So let me go through these three things for us. I would say the best way for us today to keep our eyes on God is through His Word, through the Bible itself. God speaks to us a lot through His Word. And you may say, okay, I'm not that good at reading my Bible, but when I come here to CIT and I'm hearing the different messages that are given, that helps me as well. Whatever it takes for you to keep your eye on God, that is what you need to do. Let me ask you, why should a person be baptized? We're talking about baptism this morning. Why should a person be baptized? Let me throw out a couple of suggestions to you. Because I'm of a certain age. Does that make sense? No response. Okay. Because my parents tell me I should be baptized. Is that a good one? Also, oh, good. I'm getting a little more response. Because I've been hanging around CIT long enough, and I need to tell these people that I'm a little bit more serious, and so that's why I should get baptized. That sound right? It's the thing to do? No, all of those are the wrong reasons to be baptized. Why should you be baptized? Because the Bible says you should be baptized. It's clear in the Bible, very clearly, be baptized. It's not, you know, like some people say, well, you know, I'm not sure if I see it. Then I would say this, I'm not sure you're reading your Bible. Because it is so clear. Think about, we just went through the book of Acts. We had a number of cases of people. One man was in the middle of nowhere. He's in the desert and there's water. He's just received Jesus and he's like, there's water. Can I be baptized? It's like, no, you don't. There's no puzzle. There's no mystery. There's nothing hidden about being baptized. All we need to do is hear that God has said, be baptized and be baptized. I'll tell you a little bit of how I got baptized. I never knew people were supposed to be baptized. I received Jesus when I was 18 years old, and I went a couple of years without even knowing that I needed to be baptized. And then I started reading my Bible a lot more, and I kept bumping into this whole thought of be baptized. This person was baptized. That person was baptized. And I thought, okay, what's going on here? So I spoke to somebody, an older Christian, and I said, what's this thing with baptism? And he simply said this, oh, you haven't been baptized? I said, no. He said, you need to be baptized. Yeah, for sure. I needed to be baptized, and I was baptized. So you have this, the word of God says it. That's one thing. But there's something else that goes on inside of your heart that's telling you. That's God prompting you. That's like keeping your eyes on the ark, keeping your eyes on God. Something inside of you, which is God, is prompting you to be baptized. So that's number one, keep your eyes on God. Number two, it says here, we should get ourselves ready. Regina, if we could go back to those verses again, I just want to point this out for people. In verse 5, it uses this word, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. This idea of consecrate, you may use other words like sanctify or purify or prepare yourself inwardly to move with God. This is a critical thing. Prepare your heart inwardly. When you know you need to cross that river or you need to follow God, you prepare yourself by asking God to help you leave behind. I want to stress this. Ask God to help you to leave behind things of your past that have hindered you. Relationships that are holding you back. Maybe you would pray in this way in terms of a consecration. You may say something like this, God, separate me. Separate me. Prepare me for this baptism. I don't want those old relationships anymore. I don't want that past life anymore. I know from my experience, my past was a messy past, typical teenage stuff. I cannot, as much as I might regret my past, I cannot undo my past. My past is my past. But here's one thing I do know. There is someone who can give me a new beginning. And that's Jesus. And going into the waters of baptism is another really, really important way for me to deal with my past. But I want to encourage you in this way. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Can we read this together? Ready, go. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So that's the promise from God. If you are in Christ, that means if you are a believer in Christ, guess what happens? You know that old life that you used to have? Yeah, it's dealt with. And something brand new has come in. The old has passed away. The new has come. So, number one, keep your eyes on God. Number two, get yourself ready. And number three, follow. When the ark starts to move, or when God starts to move, just follow. Take a step of faith. Let God lead you. I'll say this a number of times from this point on. If God has led you to something, regardless of what it looks like in this moment, God will lead you through it. With all the fear, all the doubts, all the concerns, all the anxieties, God has led you here, and God will lead you through it. But you and I have to let Him. Let Him lead you forward. You know, having our eyes on God is a good thing. Listening to God is really awesome. Praying to God is amazing. But listen carefully. Unless your feet move as God directs, you will never progress in your Christian life. Knowing a lot about God is one thing. Listening to God is another thing. Moving with God, that's on another level. Follow. Think about the children of Israel. If God opens up the waters, and if they don't go through, they remain where they are. Don't do that. When God is helping you to see, this is your next step. Believe Him. Take that step. Take that step. This is a question. Please wrestle with this question this morning. What is God asking of you? What's the step? We know for the people who are getting baptized, we know the step. And they're here this morning testifying. They're taking that step. So what is God asking of you? What has God been asking of you? How many of you in this room are stubborn? This is very enlightening. Come on. Come on. Seriously. Come on. Some of the wives need to poke their husbands. Because this is... let me see those hands again. How many of you are stubborn? Some of you are so stubborn you're not putting your hand up. Right? That's what I think it is. Right? Oh, moms are putting her son's hand. Okay. Right? Don't be stubborn. Like, when God is showing you a step, take the step. Trust Him. If He has led you to this spot, He's going to lead you forward from that spot. Let me share with you another testimony from a young brother this time, also a community group leader. He says, there definitely were doubts and fears starting the initial community group. This was something that was completely new to me, and the fear of providing something less than what people might have expected was what got me. But through talking to Ian and having lots of prayer with my fellow small group leaders, I was really helped to realize two things. It's natural to feel the way I was feeling. It showed me that I could only trust in God to guide us. Number two, it was an opportunity provided by God. That was something I had to keep to keep reminding myself of. This helped to take the fear off of people and put my focus on doing our absolute best, knowing that we're doing it because God has given us the opportunity. Amen. And if we don't succeed right away, it's not the end of the world. Amen. Right? When God is asking something of us, He's brought us to a certain point. If you let Him, He will lead you forward. He will lead you forward. Let God lead you forward. Let me focus in specifically on baptism now. I want to share two verses with you, one from Matthew, one from Romans chapter 6. Matthew 28, 19 says this, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This is Jesus speaking His last words while He's on the earth to His disciples, to His followers. And He's saying, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And you're going to hear that. Actually, you're going to have the opportunity to participate in saying that in a few minutes. But look at what Jesus is saying. I'm asking you to do this. Go and make disciples. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are His disciple. He says, go and make disciples and baptize them. So two things we know from this verse. If you are a follower of Jesus, you yourself need to be baptized. And number two, you need to help other people to be baptized. That is what is happening in this verse. Number two is from Romans chapter 6. Let's see this. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. We get to participate. Baptism is you and I participating with Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Some people would say it's identifying. But a lot of times, to be honest, we don't quite understand that whole idea of identifying. How many of you know some really crazy sports fans? Ian, don't expose me. It's true. I love sports. There's no doubt. Okay. Any other crazy sports fans in here? Where's Solomon? There he is. Okay. Yeah. Solomon and I actually, we are fans of the teams that hate each other the most, and yet we love each other the most, which is good, right? But it's very interesting when it comes to identification. Have you ever noticed the way that sports fans identify with the team? Like, I'm talking about real sports fans. Not those people who just kind of, yeah, anyway. So, I have a lot of feeling about those kind of people, but it's okay. God's working with me on that. But real sports fans, they are right into it. They know the schedule. They know when the games are coming, right? If you're a Raptors fan, you know that they were playing the San Antonio Spurs the other day, right? And you know that the key guy from Toronto was traded there last year, and we picked up their key guy, and this was like a revenge match, and Toronto lost. Oh. Wow. That's right. But it's okay. They get to come here in February, and we'll see what happens. But, so, rabid sports fans, crazy sports fans, you ever notice what they do? They also wear they wear all the stuff. Right? They wear the jerseys, they wear the hats, and really crazy ones, they paint their bodies. Have you seen this? They literally paint their bodies. Like, if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, I have no idea why anybody, I should take that back, because they are doing a whole lot better now than they are legit. But they paint their faces blue, and then they put this white maple leaf on their face. Look, that's great. If they want to do it, it's awesome. I've seen some guys, you know, they go to a Maple Leafs game, they take off all their top clothes, and they have Leafs. Like this, there's a L-E-A-F, six, five, Yeah, five guys standing next to each other, L-E-A-F. That's crazy, right? Like, who would do that? Well, you know what they're doing? They are identifying themselves with the Leafs. And in this verse, Paul is saying, you and I, when we are baptized, we are identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the significance of baptism. We are identified with him. But this last verse here, verse 4, is interesting because it says, you don't just go into baptism and come out exactly the same way. You go into that tank of water and something crazy happens, something spiritual happens where you go in as you are and your old life goes, you go underneath that water and your old life stays there. And the Bible tells us when you come out of those waters, you walk in newness of life. That means you start to live a brand new life, a life you had no power to live before you went in that tank. I don't understand what happens, but it's this. You have been identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And something crazy, significant happens in your life when you come out of that water. I want to leave you with one last thought. I want to talk about stones. The end of this story in chapter 4 goes this way. Joshua and all of the people have now crossed over this raging river because they followed God. They're on the other side. And yet, there are men still standing in the middle of the Jordan River. And remember, the water is piled up on the one side and has drained out on the other side, and everybody's gone through on dry land. And Joshua says this to 12 men, go back into the Jordan, and I want each one of you to grab a stone, put it on your shoulder, carry it out, and place it on this side of the Jordan in the promised land as a memorial. As a memorial. And I would say this about our Christian experiences. There are many things that God leads us to. And when we follow him, we take the step of faith we need to take. That becomes a memorial. Let me just read this one verse to you. Verse 6. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? Not just what do these stones mean. What do they mean to you? That means you have a story connected to those stones. They mean something to you. And so think about this. If your parents told you, you need to get baptized, and then there were these stones, those stones mean nothing to you because God didn't prompt you to do that. Your parents told you, you need to get in those waters. And that is not why you get baptized. You get baptized because God has shown you in his word. God has prompted you in your inner heart and said, you need to identify yourself with me in my death, burial, and resurrection. And as you pass through those waters, as you get in that tub, you leave your old self behind, you come out, you've got a memorial. You've got a memorial. But only if you do it in that way. Those of us who are here, we know we can tell the story of our baptism. We know how significant that story of our baptism was. What do those stones do? They point to what God has done in you. And they also point to how you have followed God. You have a story to tell. You have a memorial. Here it says you need to tell people. Are you telling people? Do you tell people about your experiences of Jesus? That's what we're called to do. Let people know what God has done in you. Let people know the steps that you have taken in following God. Let them be memorials that are set up in your life. And my prayer for you and me for 2019 is that our 2019 would be filled, littered with memorials to God. Don't you want that? That's what God wants for you. Follow Him. Let Him lead, and you will have memorials in your life.
Amen.
We are going to we're going to baptize Jared now, which is an awesome thing.
All right.
He has decided that this is his time. I've been with Jared a little bit on this walk, and it's been an honor to be with him. I know. I wish he could tell you his whole story, but I hope one day he will be able to tell you. But let me just read for you. You want to stand up, or there you go. There he is. All right, there he is. Okay. This is what Jared said. I was first introduced to church around 13 years ago when my parents and I first came to Toronto. Over the years, my mom's been the only one who's attended church regularly as a faithful Christian. So shout outs to my mom. I love you. Yay for moms. That's right. Maybe it's the transition of immigration, but I was never comfortable with my personal identity as I struggled to maintain and integrate both Eastern and Western cultures into who I am. For those of you who know me, I am a sinner who's probably going to sin again. I've made mistakes in the past. I can't erase alone. I'm broken and I need God's forgiveness.
Amen.
The spiritual healing, fulfillment, and guidance He provides is so amazing. Today marks a new chapter in my life as my faith in Him is stronger than ever. I surrender to His kingdom and declare myself a child of God. Jared, we baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let me conclude by I'll pray, and then we're going to have one last song before we go. Father, thank you so much for what we have witnessed this morning. Thank you for your move in our hearts. Thank you that you are still living, you are still operating, you still are interested in us, and you're still leading us forward. God, we just thank you so much for all the people who were baptized this morning. Bless them, Lord. May this day be a memorial for them. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.